Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You can get more tips, strategies, and free downloads by going to my website at theroofershow.com. In my interview today, I'm going to answer one of the most common questions I get, and that is, hey, if I'm making all this money on my jobs, how come I don't have anything to show for it at the end of the month? And this is a problem I see with so many contractors. They are not charging enough for their labor, which means they don't have the right burden amount. They're not loading up their labor costs properly. You may think you've got all those costs covered. You know, I've got my insurances covered in there, my workers' comp, maybe my liability. I've got my taxes all covered. But there's probably a dozen other items that tend to get buried in overhead. And they are actually job costs. You've got to be charging these as a direct cost to your customers and marking those costs up. Otherwise, you're just not charging enough money. And this is what we get into today. It turns out with Diane's calculator that she's got, you can just plug in these numbers. And as you'll see, you're leaving a ton of money on the table. You're not getting your costs covered, which also tends to explain why so many contractors go out of business, because they're just not charging enough for their work. And this usually comes down to labor and the labor burden. And this is where the problem is. And this is so important for every contractor to understand. This is why I want to make sure you stick around today. This is a great interview. A lot of contractors don't like the numbers. They don't want to get involved. They got bookkeepers for this. They're just going to push this off. But you've got to understand and set this up properly. And with the interview today, we make it easy for you to do that. And I'm going to jump right into it right after I thank our sponsor, and that's Ruby Receptionist. I love these guys because the number one complaint from buyers of home services is that contractors simply just don't answer the phone. But if you're going to run a successful business, you've got to leave a great first impression. Otherwise, all that money you're spending to get the phone to ring, it's just going in the trash. A Forbes magazine survey tells us that 80% of callers won't leave a voicemail. They're just going to call your competitors until they get a live person to pick up. And whether you're using voicemail or you're using one of those terrible answering services, you're losing business. But with Ruby Receptionists, they'll answer 100% of your calls live. They'll transfer only the calls you want to receive, take messages. They address common problems, just like an in-house receptionist, but at a fraction of the cost. So building trust with project owners from the first interaction is critical to earning their business, which is why they do more than simply answering the phone. With Ruby, all your calls are answered by a friendly professional receptionist. Their positive tone and desire to go above and beyond build relationships from day one, and that's increasing the likelihood of you selling that job. Ruby gives you the peace of mind to step away from the phone and focus on the activities that make you money. With real-time updates and notifications, you can stay on top of your calls wherever you are. All your messages and voicemails are at your fingertips through the Ruby mobile app and can be delivered to you via notifications, text, or email. If you want to experience Ruby for yourself, and I suggest you do, just go to callruby.com/roofershow and go for a test drive. You'll set up a sample greeting. They'll email you a temporary number to call, and you can make as many test calls as you want within a 1-hour window. And you can save $50 on your first full month's service by using promo code ROOFER50. That's callruby.com/roofershow, or give them a call at 844-326-7829 and start making that first great impression today. All right. Well, let's get on to our interview with Diane Gilson. Hey, Diane, thanks for coming on to the show today. I really appreciate it.
Hey there, Dave. Good to be here.
Well, thank you for coming on again. We had you on in episode number 77. We talked about the cost of chaos and how being screwed up in your business, how much that is really costing you. And number 105 talked about how to increase your profits with effective job costing reports. Got some great feedback on that. And one piece of job costing that can really cause us a lot of problems, cost us a lot of money, is the burden rate and miscalculating the burden rate. And I see this so often with contractors. As we talk about on this show all the time, business is like a three-legged stool. You've got to sell work, you've got to do work, and you've got to keep score. And right now, everybody's selling work. That's not a problem that we have. And we're also pretty good about doing the work portion, the leg of our stool. That's where we talked about the chaos, talked about some real improvements we could make on production. But it's that third leg that I see so many contractors missing out on, and that's the keeping score or the bookkeeping. Contractors in general just don't like the numbers. They don't understand them. They don't want to mess around with them. They usually push those off to somebody that's either unqualified. That's just where you get embezzled all the time, a problem that we have in this business. So I wanted to talk about the burden rate and how important that is. And before we jump into it, before I even introduce you, Diane, you've got a formula on your website that I really like that describes this. And I just want to jump into that because I want you contractors, you've got to listen. You've got to stick around to this episode, even though you don't may not like the numbers. And this is also something you want to pass on to anyone in your finance department, your bookkeeping, because this is some great information. And just to tell you how important this is, Diane, you've got a formula, a little diagram on your website. It talks about what does it cost us for underbilling for our employees. Can you tell us about that real quick, just so we can catch everybody's attention here?
Sure. You know, the biggest risk in almost any job that you're working on is, what's it going to cost us for the cost of our employees? Lots of times, if you don't know the true full cost of your employees, you might be underbilling. You might not be charging them out at the rate that you should be. So I designed this layout, this grid that you can go fill in. It's just like a teeny tiny spreadsheet out on this page on our website. The idea is that if you can see how much you might be losing by underbilling, then that's going to provide you the motivation to figure out what you should be billing for your employees.
Let's plug in some numbers into this thing. We can use really somewhat of an average roofing company.
So the first thing we have you fill in would be, so for the employees that you have, about how many hours a year would you think would be production hours where you can actually bill for their time? Now, we start out with 2,080 for a full-time employee. Okay, so 52 weeks times 40 hours a week. But of course, you know, we lose, if you're paying for vacation or holidays, you're going to lose some of that time. And then I think the other day we were talking, you mentioned that, of course, maybe you have some time where they're not working, and then other times maybe there's overtime. So if you had to guess how many hours a year out of that 2,080 that someone would actually be producing that you could bill for their time, you have an idea of what that might be?
Well, I'm out here in sunny California, so we can work pretty much year-round. We've got some good weather. So let's just throw in a number of 1,800 hours. How about that? Let's keep it simple.
Okay, sure. And, of course, your listeners, if they were to come to this page and do it, they can put in their own number, okay, whatever they think it would be. And then, so let's say, if you were to guess, okay, and I know this is a guess, but everybody has to do some guessing once in a while. If you had to guess about how much per hour somebody might be undercharging?
I know that a lot of contractors are way undercharging. So let's just use $5.
Okay. All right. We'll put that in. And so magically, we initially get a first number of just for one employee. That would mean that you're undercharging or you're losing $9,000 a year for a single employee.
So we're saying that if each guy has 1,800 hours, works 1,800 hours in a year, and we think we're losing $5 an hour, we're just multiplying the 1,800 by $5, and we're coming up with this, and this is the amount that we're undercharging our customers on our estimates. We're not charging enough. Is that right?
You got it.
So we got $9,000 just on that one employee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so then you'd have to drop in for, you know, if your listener was out there, they'd drop in their number for their number of employees. But you want to work with maybe how many employees do you want to work
with? Yeah, let's say we've got 25 employees total.
All right. So to do the math, it means 25 times 9,000. So that's $225,000 in 1 year if you had 25 employees. Of course, if you had 50, then you'd have to double that.
So what you're saying is we're leaving $225,000 on the table and not charging our customers, not putting those costs into our estimates. Is that right? $225,000?
Yeah, and it's not a matter of missing the cost in the estimate, but what you should be billing. Okay, so you kind of have to figure out what your employees really cost you per hour and then your desired markup. And if you don't have a good cost to start with, and we'll be talking more about labor burden here, but if you've got to start out with the right cost and then you have your markup. And if you're not marking up enough, if you're not marking up what you should be and you're not billing that extra $5 that you should be billing per hour per employee. Yeah, if you've got 25 people, that means $225,000 that is not showing up in your gross profit or your bottom line.
So we're starting to talk about some real money here.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait. And then think about over time. If you take that to 3 years, $225,000 over 3 years comes to $675,000. That's getting up there. In over 5 years, it's $1,125,000.
Well,
not having the right numbers can have a big impact on your bottom line.
Yeah, and coincidentally, about 80% of contractors will have failed within the first 5 years. And that is because the number one reason is because we're not charging enough for our work. So here's a pretty good example of why knowing our costs are so important. Agreed?
Right. Yeah, those costs are the basis of, you know, what you have to charge, you know, and what you have to mark up.
It really does add up. All right, so now that I got everybody's attention, I want to come backwards and do our introduction for Diane. Now, if you've been a listener to the show, you know we do what we call an elevator pitch. And an elevator pitch is something that everybody, every contractor needs to have down, have polished. When somebody asks you, hey, what do you do? Tell me about your company. You got to have this down. And there's four parts to a good elevator pitch. Elevator pitch being the time it takes to come down from the top of the building down to the bottom in an elevator, and you're sitting there with the biggest customer in town. You got to tell them your story. So there's four parts. And that first part is, Diane, what is it that you do and who do you do it for?
Okay, well, my company is Info Plus Accounting, and we help small and mid-sized construction companies. They can gross anywhere from as low as $500,000 up to $10 to $15 million in the QuickBooks arena. Customize their internal accounting system so they can really quickly and easily see which of their jobs are making money, which jobs are losing money, and when they can see that, then they know what to do about it.
Okay, and the second part is, what's the problem that you see in the market, and how do you solve it?
Well, of course, there's the failure rate that you mentioned, and that's pretty horrifying, okay? But there are so many more people that are just hanging out there and working their lives away, and they're just not making very much money. They might even do better if they went and worked for somebody else, which is just really a sorry state of affairs for the risks that company owners take and the amount of work and the care that they really put into what they're doing. So, and I think one of the primary reasons that this happens and they're not on top of their numbers is that so many people think somebody else should take care of their numbers. And they might think their CPA should do it. But that's not what CPAs do. But somehow there's still that hope. It's kind of like sometimes ladies grow up with this thought of, oh, there's going to be a knight in shining armor going to come along. Well, business owners kind of feel that way about their CPAs, and yet this is not what CPAs do. They don't take care of setting up your internal number systems, okay? And unfortunately, there, even though there are a lot of bookkeepers out there, very few of them know how to set those job costing systems up. And so if a company owner doesn't know exactly where they're making money or they're losing money, if that whole numbers thing is just kind of backburnered, they're just not going to be able to make the right decisions and move forward. So it's just really crazy to think that you can hand this off to somebody else and miraculously things are going to heal themselves. The company owner has to get in and, you know, get their fingers into their numbers. They don't have to be an accountant, but they do have to know how to, what numbers they need to be watching and looking at and do it themselves.
Yep. Well, that's what I mentioned before. Contractors are notorious for getting embezzled because they don't keep an eye on those numbers and they push it off to somebody else. And this is what happens. But we come into our third question, and contractors, this is the important question that you've got to answer in your elevator pitch. And Diane, that is, how are you uniquely qualified to solve this problem better than your competition?
Okay, well, I do, my background is as a CPA, but I'm now what's called a registered CPA, meaning I don't do audits and taxes and reviews and bookkeeping. But in fact, what we do is we focus on helping people set up their internal management accounting systems. We have training, we've got classes, I do some consulting, but we try to give people what they need, the structure and the support in order to have their own internal job costing systems. And there's very, very few people in the country that do that. So we want the people that we work with to be able to be independent so that they can learn how to understand and track their own numbers. And that way they can define their own financial futures. When you have that vision and that clarity, you can make a big change in your life without handing that control off to somebody outside the company.
I like it. Okay. And the last one, number four, obviously the big question is, what is it that you want them to do? The call to action. So Diane, what would you like our listeners to do?
Okay, well, I think a lot of them would have a good time going out and using that free calculator that we have. And if they get some numbers in there that start making them a little concerned that, you know, maybe they could be doing quite a bit better, then of course they may want to go out and look at a product we have called the Employee Cost and Pricing Analyzer. And that particular product, well, and I'll tell you a little bit of the story behind it when we get a little later in the podcast. But the full-blown versions run anywhere from $497 to $997, depending on the size of your company. And there is a free web page version where you can drop some numbers in to get a feel for how it would work. But if you want the real package that's sitting in Excel, it would that'll be out there. It's called the Employee Cost and Pricing Analyzer. And I'm going to bet you'll be willing to put a link to both of those things on your notes page, right?
I definitely will, because this is some very important information for our contractors. This is a simple way. Diane, you've got so many learning tools on your website, a lot of free stuff, great articles that go over this. And this is why I love having you on the show. I mean, you're my go-to when it comes to anything financial.
Thanks so much, Dave. I appreciate that. We put a lot of work into trying to put some really good quality things together for folks.
And it shows. All right. Well, let's jump into the meat of this, Diane. We're going to talk about what the heck is labor burden. Yeah. why, as a contractor, why do I care about mine? So let's start off at the beginning. What exactly is labor burden?
Okay, well, it's the cost. Of course, everybody knows you're paying your employees an hourly rate, okay? But it's the extra cost that accompany that employee above and beyond their regular compensation. And so if kind of put this picture in your mind, you've got your employee walking around and they're carrying a big bag, maybe a backpack, but probably a big bag over their shoulder. And that bag is full of your money. Okay, it's accompanying them. And so let's say we're going to start adding quarters because, you know, quarters have some weight, okay, so that you can get a feel for what that is. So we're going to start adding quarters for every additional cost above and beyond their regular pay. So, you know about what a roll of $10 feels like in quarters, okay? So we're going to throw in, first of all, payroll taxes. So, of course, Social Security, Medicare, federal unemployment, state unemployment, and roofers, I'm sure, are paying some pretty high unemployment rates because of the seasonal nature sometimes. Okay. Definitely. And of course, we'll be talking here in a moment about workers' comp. And I know workers' comp is risk-based. So, of course, you're paying some pretty big workers' comp dollars. Typically.
That we are.
Okay. Maybe your folks, you give them some bonuses or some profit sharing, depending upon what level they are. Maybe they got paid time away. You know that old advertisement that would go ka-ching? There you go. We're starting to hear ka-chings as we're dropping quarters in that bag. And then, of course, there's non-productive time, which could include things like company meetings, training. You have to have that safety training and how to do things, shop time, and so on. So there's time that they're working, you're paying them for, but they're not actually producing income. Okay, then maybe there's health or life insurance, there are retirement benefits. Everybody has different sets of those benefits. Tools, they've got to have tools to work and equipment. And then vehicle costs. Okay, well, that could be a big ka-ching. We'll go through some numbers a little bit later. Training time, we talked about. Supervisor's time. So if somebody, if you've got people out on the job and you know, they're taking up a supervisor's time, then really we'd like to see that supervisor's time flow out to the people that they're supervising. Because they're really, if you think about it, they're serving the people that are on the front line. So it's a pretty long list. Okay. And of course, there are lots of ways to use that. I've got a list of 17 ways that you can use this information once you get it computed.
Really, why do we care about tracking these costs for the individual employees?
Well, the first thing we've already started touching on is so we can figure out what we should charge for their time. You know, if you know your labor burden percentage, you can see much, much better job costing information. So, first of all, how much do you want to charge? And then secondly, when we go back into that job costing environment where we're seeing how much are we really spending on each job, if we can include the burden as part of our labor cost that sits inside that job cost report, we're going to get much better information to know whether we're making money or losing money on individual jobs. And of course, as we discussed in an earlier podcast, we know how critical it is for you to be able to see accurate job costs. And so those costs really accompany your employees. So you want to see it out there.
Okay. Then who do we need to compute the labor burden for?
Okay. Well, generally, we want to make sure that we know what the supervisors or project managers run, because as I mentioned, lots of times we wash their costs. If we can't track their time specifically by job, we like to wash those costs out into the direct labor employees. And of course, if owners work on jobs and assign their costs out to jobs, it might be a good idea to figure out their fully burdened rate as well. I know a lot of cases where the owners are out and about working on jobs, you know, somebody doesn't show up for work that day, so they go out and do the work. And yet, if they don't get their cost assigned out to that job, now all of a sudden that job looks like it's doing great. when in fact it didn't. So we also want to see what should we assign the owner's cost out, you know, what amount should we be putting out there for the owner's time?
Yeah, and that's really a common problem that I see a lot, is that when the owners get out there and they're working, on the job. They don't charge that. That's a job cost. You've got to get that time on the job as a direct cost.
Right. And I'd like to cycle back to something here, too, about, you know, why we care about tracking things. So this relates to those owners, the owner's time, is so that knowing what every employee really costs per hour can be really helpful as you decide who should be doing what. Okay. I had a company owner come back to me and say, gosh, when I figured out what my time was worth, I decided maybe I shouldn't be the one making those jobs, those runs over to the Home Depot to pick up things. Right. I started getting more careful about how and where I was spending my time, and I started handing off certain aspects. I allocated who was doing what much more carefully once I knew that. So and another thing I'd like to mention, too, is, you know, there's lost and wasted time. So if you start understanding how much each employee costs in terms of lost and wasted time, when you drive by a job and you see three guys standing and staring down at a hole in the ground, it's called lost and wasted time, or that extra trip off to Home Depot. You know, it takes at least two guys to go pick up a box of screws at Home Depot. Yeah, right. Okay, so measuring that lost and wasted time, when you really know what that's costing, you can get, you know, you can help to educate people and keep an eye on that type of thing.
Yeah, and that 20 minutes on the stop at 7-Eleven to get coffee and donuts on the way, you add that up for the number of employees, you'll just, it's an incredible cost of money that you're losing. Please. All right, well, so on our profit and loss statement, where does this labor burden show up?
I get to see a lot of incoming companies' information before they start getting things reorganized. And I find that a lot of companies bury, I call it burying that information, in non-cost of goods sold accounts, down in the expense area, kind of company overhead. Okay. And when you bury those costs down there, it kind of makes it look like you're doing a whole lot better on gross profit than you really are. So it means that they're not seeing the real cost of their labor if the payroll taxes are sitting down in expenses, or if the benefits are sitting down in the expense accounts, holiday and vacation time. Over and over again, I see those costs sitting down below. So one of the first things we do is we like to get people to take all of their production costs and get it up into what we call the cost of goods sold area, or the production cost area of their P&L. And if they don't know the real cost of their labor, they're just not marking up the labor portion of their jobs enough, which, you know, reflects back on what we started out talking about. So if they're looking at their reports, it appears they're making more than they really are. All of a sudden, those labor costs will catch up with them eventually. So if they're not marking up properly, it'll just come along and catch them unawares, is probably a good way to put it. So I've often had people come to me and say, you know, I think I'm making pretty good money on every job, but I'm still not making anything. There's nothing left over for me. And I say, it's kind of like, you know, you're filling a bucket full of water, all of this incoming revenue, but you've got these big holes that are leaking out on the bottom, down below the line, mm-hmm. on your P&L. If you could be making the money, but if you're not charging enough, or if you've got these costs that are kind of invisible, that bucket just keeps emptying underneath you.
Exactly. And this is why it's so important to have this set up properly. You've got a simple way of coming in and setting this up for customers, don't you?
Well, yeah. We have a model for the way things should be set up. Okay, we say, here's what should be in your income account, your cost of goods sold account, your expense account, and so on. So there are ideal ways to set things up in your company file and in your structure that are going to yield good, meaningful information to you. And sometimes I have people come to me and they say, you know, I just can't read these financial statements. I don't get them. And I look at them and I go, yeah, well, I don't get them either. I don't understand. They're not set up in a way that I can read it. They're kind of in a different language here. So, you know, getting that good structure in place is absolutely critical. So,
and this is the difference between somebody that understands construction costing also, as opposed to just your everyday bookkeeper down the street that's setting up the car wash or the insurance company, right?
Yeah, exactly. Project-related companies, of course, a lot of those are in construction, but there are companies in manufacturing or, you know, in tech and so on. If you're delivering services, you're doing different projects, all of these people need to be able to see what they're making on individual jobs. Mm-hmm. So if you want to think about how does this labor cost, how should that show up on your jobs? If you think of a spreadsheet, so kind of if you're driving, you know, don't close your eyes or anything. But if you think of a spreadsheet, you know it's made up of rows and columns. So on the left side in your chart of accounts, you would see your accounts. Now, this is the very basic, most basic level. Okay, there are a lot of other deeper levels in QuickBooks that we could talk about someday. But right now, if you just think about your accounts, and on the left side, you see your accounts, and the first set of accounts would be income. The next set of accounts would be your cost of production. Okay, what does it cost you to do your jobs? And so, of course, you'd want to see your materials cost and your contractor's cost in separate line items. But for your labor, you'd want to see gross payroll, job by job. And you'd think about each job as in a column, okay? So you'd want to see your gross payroll cost, and then you'd want to see payroll taxes, and QuickBooks does this automatically for you. And you just have to have the right little button pushed in the background, and QuickBooks will do that. And then what's called allocated labor burden cost, or the computed burden cost for each employee who worked on the job. So then that way you can see, oh, what's the gross pay? What were the related payroll taxes? And what were all these other costs that I mentioned a little earlier? How did that flow through and show up on the job?
Diane, I know it's hard to do this without our slides and without actually being able to show these numbers, but how do we come up with these allocated costs and what are they? Can you tell me about that?
Okay, sure. There are two big pieces. First of all, we start out with how many hours we have that where people are going to produce for us. Okay, so we may be paying them for, like I said, maybe 2,080 hours or some above that for overtime. But then out of that time, there's time away. So we want to say, well, how many hours are they really available to work for us? The second big piece, and I'll go back through an example here. The second big piece is to say, well, then how much do they really cost me? Okay, and then we come up with and how much is that extra cost that we have above and beyond what I pay that person per hour. So I've got an example here if you want me to run through it.
Sure, let's.
Okay, so let's pretend we've got an employee by the name of Pat, okay, and Pat's costing us $17 an hour in regular hourly pay. Now, I know everybody has different rates, so you just have to go with the flow on this, just kind of imagine. And we're going to start out with that 2,080 hours, and then we have to subtract these non-working periods for Pat. We figure this out individually, employee by employee, but Pat has 6 holidays, 2 weeks, 10 vacation days.
You got to slow down for me. I'm not that bright. So let's take it a little slower for me, if you could.
Okay, sure thing. So Pat has 6 holidays. Okay.
Okay.
So those are the standard holidays. All right. I didn't even throw in the day after Thanksgiving there. But we'll say Pat has 6 holidays, and then let's say Pat's been working for you for a bit. So Pat's up to, you know, 10 vacation days per year, 2 weeks. That's not outrageous. 6 sick or personal days. All right.
Okay.
And a couple of days of training seminars. Okay. So I don't know if you're doing the math in the background, but I'm adding up 10 and 12.
The hamster wheel is moving slowly.
Yeah.
But I'm with you.
Okay. It's looking like about 24 days to me. Okay, which is 192 hours. So if we started out with 2,080 hours, okay, that gives us 1,888 hours. Okay, so that's just paid time away, not even within shouting distance, probably. Okay, and then every week, we're probably losing a couple hours on things like some administrative meetings, some timekeeping, some shop time, and so on.
So non-productive time we're talking about. It's time that they're not out there actually putting on roofs.
Exactly. You know that there's just time that's you don't really call it chargeable to a job. Okay.
Right. But we've got to get it in there. That's a cost, an hourly cost of what our man actually costs out there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we're starting this whole process right now that we're working on is just reducing their available time down to the production hours that they're really going to be able to earn for you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, when we take about 2 hours from each remaining week, okay, because they've been away, so that only really leaves us with 47 weeks, so a couple hours a week for the time that they are there, okay, that takes our time down by another 94 hours. So now we've got Pat being available for about 1,794 hours, which is pretty close to that 1,800 we started mm-hmm. with, okay? Now, let's say we're going to now figure out what does Pat really cost. Okay, so keep in mind that 1,794 hours that we're going to get work out of Pat, okay? Pat's $17 per hour compensation, just straight gross payroll, comes to $35,360 per year. Mm-hmm. So in addition to that, we have a bunch of extra costs that are attached to this employee's job. So we've got payroll taxes, and I did all these calculations, so I'm not going to give you things down to the penny, but I've got a little over $3,000 in payroll taxes. I've got a little over $3,500 in workers' comp. Now, that's only at a $10 per hundred rate, and of course, people in roofing, it's going to be much higher than that. $4,200 in health insurance, that's at $350 a month. Okay, which, mm-hmm. you know, $1,060 in retirement benefits. That's at 3% of compensation. I've got $60 a month in cell phone costs for $720. $150 in uniforms, you know, those logo shirts or jackets. $3,000 in company vehicle usage. Now, that's probably way too low. I mean, if somebody has a dedicated vehicle, it's probably going to be more in the $8,000 to $8,500, and of course, it just depends on how that's equipped.
Mm-hmm. Let me stop you right there. This is where so many contractors put this down below the line in overhead. You know, cell phones, uniforms, the things that you're talking about, their vehicle expenses. You're saying this is actually a job cost and a part of that employee's hourly wage. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, hourly wage, not so much, but the fact that this is what it's costing you to put this employee out on the roof.
Right. Okay.
Okay. They've got to have all this stuff. And then let's say maybe they've done a great job. You want to give them a little bit of a bonus. So I put down about $700 for that. And then, of course, there's the employer paid snacks and meals and parties and entertainment. You know, you probably spend $100 in coffee. Taking it out to the job site or donuts or whatever. So I put $100 down for that. That's probably light. Okay. And then I put in $250 for training fees or seminars and that type of thing. So do you want to know what the ka-ching and all of those things together is?
So it's more than the $17 an hour that we're paying them, I think, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we've just added, we started out with $35,360. We just added another $17,000 in additional cost. Okay, that brings Pat's annual cost to $52,389.
That's what it's costing us to put that man in the field. Is that right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
So now we say, well, here's our real cost to have that person working for us. And this is how many hours they can work. So we take our grand total and we divide it by the number of hours that they're available to produce for us. Okay. In this case, Pat's real cost to his employer is $29.21 per production hour. Now, this one I took down to the penny, okay, which means that 52,389 divided by 1,794 hours. Now, that is 72% more than Pat's hourly pay.
Right, right.
So that's a burden rate for Pat of 72%.
Now, I know a lot of contractors are sitting out there going, I could never charge that for my employees and get my customers to pay that. But that's what it's costing you. And this is why so many contractors go out of business. They don't understand their true costs and they're not charging enough money. And this is why, like you said, when we started, I'm making money on all my jobs, but I don't have anything to show for it. And this is the reason why. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. If you can't look at your cost and mark it up a reasonable rate, you might as well stay home and fish.
Yep.
Okay.
Hear that.
I mean, if you're going to break even, you know, why go through all the work? Mm-hmm. You might as well. I mean, you know, none of us really wants to do that. We all want to be productive and contribute and so on. But if you understand your cost and you work from there to do a reasonable markup, that's what you have to do in order to make a profit. And if you're not going to make a profit,
go work for somebody else. I mean, it's you know, this is why failure rate is so high in this business. It's so difficult to run a profitable business. And it usually starts off with because contractors don't know their numbers. And they're not charging the money that they should. But Diane, this sounds really complicated, but you're talking about the program that you have available. It's basically just a plug in the numbers, right? And you're getting, you can get this for your employees. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can see it for, you know, for each individual employee.
Mm-hmm.
So
do we need to compute this for each employee or can we just take like an average rate or an industry average?
Okay. Well, I'm going to kind of work those backwards. So the first thing is you do not want to use an industry average. I mean, who's going to tell you what the industry average is anyway?
Because they're all losing money.
Exactly. So you definitely don't want to do something that, you know, like that. You want to be outstanding, not go with the industry average. And like I said, who's going to tell you what that would be? Right. I mean, you know, maybe you have an association that would tell you, but probably not. It's going to be hard to find out. Okay?
We've all got our own individual costs, and we got to make sure that we understand them and that we're charging accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. And then I have other people that say, well, why don't I just do a company average? Well, if you have people working at different levels, and if you have people with different benefits and so on. So I'd say compare one of your senior project managers to a new apprentice on the job. Do they get the same benefits? Do they get the same amount of time, paid time away? Do they get the same tools and equipment or the same bonuses? Mm-hmm. No, not at all. And so if you've got different people at different levels, different jobs are going to require different combinations of people. Okay, so when you sit down to do your estimates, you kind of have to have an idea in mind of which people are you going to put on the jobs, at least by level, you know, maybe right. not by person right. specifically, but at least by level. And so when I first started helping clients do this, I could give them specifics for each person. But the first thing that company owners would say is, well, I don't know which apprentice I'm going to send out on the job. And so we would run an average for them. So for all of the apprentices, here's an average. For all the journeymen, here's an average. For the supervisors, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, but at least then that gets you much closer into the ballpark.
Well, the way that we did it, because the type of work that we did, which I talk about on the show, which was commercial re-roofing. So we've got to go and tear the roof off. We've got to install a new one. And we found it to be most productive in our company using a 7-man crew. So we would have 7, 8, 9 crews consisting of 7 men. And you've got to have those balanced out. And the crew cost has to be about the same because when you're figuring your jobs at so many man days at a certain cost, you've got to make sure that everything is equal. And if you don't understand the cost of each man, you're not able to plug in, certain positions to keep those crew costs being equal. Does that make sense?
Predictable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to predict that. Right. So if you come up with, you know, an average for a supervisor or a project manager and an average for a journeyman, I mean, everybody has their different terms, but okay. And, you know, an average for an apprentice. So if you had a crew of a project manager and five mid-level people and a couple of apprentices, and that was your crew of seven or eight people, you'd pick up the individual rates for each of them on average, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you'd get the average cost for that crew. So, again, but you need to start with what are the individual costs.
Okay. Well, what about overtime? A lot of owners hate to pay overtime, but is it always a bad thing? What do you tell us about that?
Okay, well, one of the things that I did with our tool is we also add in, have the person filling it out, figure out about how much overtime do they anticipate that they're going to have for the year. And we also run a separate set of numbers so that you can see what does overtime for any given employee actually cost. And we find in certain circumstances that sometimes the overtime actually costs you less than full-time. And that's because it's kind of counterintuitive, because you go, well, I'm paying that person time and a half. And so it feels like it's more expensive, but in fact, your certain costs just don't get higher. Okay.
Right.
The cost of their vehicle per year doesn't increase significantly. Their health insurance doesn't change. So the fixed costs don't change a lot. And so you can actually end up with them costing you less, or in many cases, very close to their regular overtime rates. And so that in many cases will beat having to go out and hire somebody new, because you're working with, you know, a known entity. And, you know, some employees kind of like to have that overtime. So until you actually compute that for each person, you don't know what that overtime is really costing you.
Right.
So.
Right. I agree. And the way that we did it, they would have to call in and say, hey, boss, I can finish this job in another 2 hours, let's say, of overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to do that, because I knew that if we sent them back the next day, we're going to be talking 4 to 8 hours to get that portion done. So it makes sense in a lot of cases. Overtime can be a good thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But you've got to know your cost.
Yeah, you don't even have to feel that bad about it if you know the overtime isn't costing you that much more per hour.
Well, Diane, I know you work with QuickBooks. Can it just compute and post the burden for us?
Well, I'll tell you what. You have to have your percentages first, okay? So the burden amounts and the percentages need to be computed first outside of QuickBooks. And then you can, if you're using the payroll module inside QuickBooks, and of course, it doesn't mean you have to use the QuickBooks payroll services, but there is a module inside there that you can use. And once you know that percentage, we've written up a procedure so that you can get QuickBooks to automatically assign those burden rates out to jobs as part of getting the payroll posted. Okay, so we used to do this by hand with journal entries, and that was kind of a pain. So yes, QuickBooks can be really helpful with helping us get those things out to jobs, but you do need to compute the burden rate first.
Well, Diane, in wrapping up, this is some great information. I'm going to have these links in the show notes, and without having a tool like this, it's next to impossible, is the story that you just told, to really get all of your costs together, be able to see those costs and get them allocated correctly, and make sure that you're passing these on, because these are costs that your customer has to pay for, and you've got to get this covered. And so check out the show notes, get in touch with Diane. She can really help you. She's an expert in this field. And thank you so much for coming on the show, and we will see you soon. Well, that's it for the show today. Thank you so much for listening, and I would really appreciate it if you had a chance to hit the little button down at the bottom of the show notes. It'll take you to leave a review. And if you could leave me an iTunes review, it really helps get the word out about the show, and I would really appreciate it. And until next week, listen to us on The Roofer Show.